now. You can live in it for 1 hour each week right here on Podcast One. Hey, everybody. Welcome back.
Hello.
What are you doing to your
fixing
hair?
Fixing my bun.
Oh, my. Your bun is now, by the way, you just turned into like Chewbacca.
Can't stay.
But you guys, thank you so much for all your feedback on last week's show on the Maldives. Your comments were hilarious. You know what I forgot to finish telling you was the end of the ant story.
Okay, tell me.
Okay, so if you remember, I was saying we came home,
yeah,
and I was so excited to get in my bed, and I went to go pour my water, and it was like
infested
with ants, like hundreds and hundreds of ants. I slept in the other room. Okay, well, here's the thing. So the next day was Coco's birthday party, and a couple days later was Coco's actual birthday, and I had ordered her an ant farm.
Right.
And so I had ordered her an ant farm because Nikki, when he was little, he had this really cool ant farm, and it was gel, and you put the ants in there, and they dig tunnels. It's kind of like a science experiment, and it's got a light underneath it, so it's a night light.
Yeah.
And it was really cool, and I really thought Coco would like that.
Yeah.
But weirdly, or maybe not weirdly, after being infested with ants, I don't think she thought that was that cool. But what happened was we had to order the ants. I know you know this part of the story, but I had to order the ants separately because they like refrigerate the ants and send them to you. So we get the ants in the mail and I'm like, all right, I'm going to put this together for her and whatever. And I thought she'd like to see me pour the ants in. We were waiting for the ants to come in, and Tara and I are like, why don't we just go upstairs and get the ants from there? And then I read in the instructions, it's like, if the ants are too small, they can escape. And I was like, oh, well, that. So she's standing there and I go to pour the ants out and they are the biggest.
It's so disgusting.
Ugliest. Like they were fire ants.
Oh my God.
They were the creepiest. When Nikki had it, they were like little gentle ants that meandered through and, you know, dug tunnels.
That's where there was the caution little thing that said, like, this will hurt if it bites you.
It was like, don't touch with your... Look at how long your nails are.
Oh, I know.
Is that for your trip?
Yeah. I did a little...
Do you put fake nails on?
Yeah, I did. I had
those
to.
Are, all right, we have
mine
to
were like literally... My nails were ripping and
so
disgusting.
Short.
No. Mine were like half that.
Really?
They were ripping.
Mine
off.
Are almost down to the quick because I had to peel all of mine off on the flight home while that baby was crying. I peeled I was so upset. I peeled all my gels off while I was drinking. Anyway, so I poured the gross ants in and Coco went berserk. Like,
oh my gosh,
get them out of here. And I thought, oh, maybe when they start tuddling, she'll change her mind. I couldn't even look at them.
Ew, it's just disgusting.
By the way,
I don't even get how do you pour them in there without them wanting to crawl out anywhere else.
This is gross, but you have to put them in the refrigerator for a few minutes. And it sort of like numbs them a little bit. And then you tap, tap, tap. But I didn't even really, I mean,
you drop them in there.
Yeah, but you have to like tap the side of the vial.
That's so disgusting.
But these were the biggest, ugliest, meanest looking ants.
So what, do you throw it out?
We disposed of it. Far, far, far,
okay,
far,
I was gonna
far,
say, is,
far, far, far away.
They don't come crawling into your bedroom.
I don't want them to come back.
Okay.
Is that crazy?
Oh, it's so gross.
I know.
No way.
Ugh. It's disgusting.
I'm surprised you can, yeah.
Oh, so I don't know how much I've talked about this, but you know, like I'm with my kids all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you forget that just being with them all the time and, you know, schlepping them around to places, it's not the same as having like special time with them. And so Nikki and I have stuff that we do together. And, you know, I always see his hockey games and, you know, we just have stuff we do together. Max and I have, you know, we shop together.
Yes.
We talk a lot. We have a lot of fun stuff we do together. Coco, especially because she's the youngest, I'm always, I watch her at Taekwondo and Jiu-Jitsu. And so we end up spending lots of quality time together. Katarina and I, we have a great relationship, but we don't have a thing that we do together. And I always feel bad because I feel like she gets lost in the shuffle because I'm dealing with teenagers or the baby.
Right.
And she's so good and she's so self-sufficient that, you know, I forget. She's super close with Terry, which is great. But then I kept feeling like we need to do something. All right. So she was interested in songwriting. She wrote a few songs and we were going to record the songs. But I don't really think that she loves it. I feel like she likes it. We went like cooking together.
Uh-huh.
And because she wanted to learn how to cook. And as we all know, I don't cook. More on my toast story later. But I don't cook. And so I don't think Kat really loved the songwriting thing, but Max kind of put the kibosh on it because, you know, she feels like that's her thing.
Okay.
Which I am very much everyone can do everything. Right. We're not pigeonholing everyone into categories, but I feel like it lost steam. Okay. So Katarina and I come up with this great idea. So we're going to do a YouTube channel together.
So cute.
All right. So kind of like Dear Heather, but it's going to be me and Katarina, who's 11.
Okay.
And we are going to answer questions, like from the mom perspective and from the kid perspective.
Yep.
We want you to send us your questions. We're going to start over the holidays. We're going to film a couple episodes. So I need your questions. We're thinking about calling it Hey Kat and Heather.
<That's> so cute.
You guys that are way so every funny. Every question you send in, start off with Hey Kat and Heather.
Oh my, that's so cute.
And send us your questions. So it can be about how to spend quality time together, or what do you do when your mom pisses you off, or just like general questions about, you know, friendships, or, you know, what to wear to a party, or how to handle situations. Any questions? It could be totally simple. It could be something difficult, but we are here to answer your questions, and we're going to do it on YouTube. Hey, Kat and Heather.
Oh my, that's so cute. I love that you guys are doing this together.
Yeah, I'm so excited. And Kat was like, I'm going to set up my green screen, and she doesn't know this. So if you're listening to this, don't tell her. But for Christmas, I got her that big circle light that you put your device in the middle of, and it gives you that great light. So she already has a green screen from last year, so I thought, oh my god, she's gonna be so excited when she sees the circle light, and so we'll have great lighting for our YouTube channel. I'm so excited.
So cute.
Hey, Kat and Heather.
You guys are adorable.
I'm so excited about
it'll be fun. That'll be fun.
It's gonna be great. So yeah. I'm super excited about that. So I had a holiday dinner this weekend. All right, let me back up. Last year I had a big holiday party. There were tons of people there. It was a great party. But you know what? I felt like I didn't get to talk to anybody. Because when you're at a mingling party, first of all, you're standing the whole time.
Yep.
And I always felt like I was looking over the shoulder of the person I was talking with. Like, okay, well, I've spoken to this person for 5 minutes. Now I need to go over there. It was just a lot of pressure.
Right.
And even at the end of the night, I felt like I never landed with anyone. So this year, Terry was talking about his office situation, like what should we do? And I said, all right, well, why don't we have like a dinner party? Instead of doing like this big epic party, let's do a dinner party and let's invite, you know, our business people, people from podcasts, people from your office, that kind of thing. And then fill in with like a couple of friends, really reciprocate to people that have invited us to their homes. Because I feel like we don't really have small events. We only like do like one thing a quarter or twice a year or something. So I thought, gosh, all, you know, a handful of people that have continuously invited us to their homes, we should have them over.
But still intimate enough. That's
exactly. Yep. So what I did was, is I did a sit down dinner party in my house for a smaller group. And I have to say, it was lovely.
It was beautiful. It really was.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. It's still, it's funny because, I mean, yeah, there were quite a few people, but it still did feel intimate. Like it's, everyone knew each other, you know?
Well, everyone was connected in some way.
Exactly.
There was no like extraneous people. It was like the exact right group.
Yep.
By the way, if I had cracked the door open to different people, it would have turned into a 50, 60, 80, 100 person party.
Totally.
Because then, because when you start opening up the group,
it's hard to pick people though. Like, now, like I'm thinking about it, like how do you invite one person and not the, like this other group, you know?
Well, that's why I didn't open the doors.
Yeah.
Because then
yeah.
I thought, oh, I'm going to have this epically large party again. And I really didn't want to do that. I wanted to sit down and be able to talk to people and have a nice moment and have a meal and the whole thing. All right. So this is what I served. So we did some pasta hors d'oeuvres and I did caviar. So I did it like I did for that luncheon that we threw. And if you want to see the luncheon, you could go to Heather's Closet on YouTube. It's there. So I had Petrosian do this. They have these little like gold egg things. And I had them fill them all with their best caviar, which is Royal Etc. Now, remember I was telling you that when we were in Dubai, I had beluga?
Yes.
Okay, I'm very confused about all this. So, So we had the Royal Etc. Everyone loved it. It was a huge hit. Terry, who despises caviar, makes himself, he's standing with one of his friends, and makes himself the caviar with the toast. And,
yep.
Oh, no, he liked the blinis.
The blinis, yeah.
So he had a blini and he put all the stuff on and he went, oh my God, this is the best thing I've ever had. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I said to him, I go, well, I'm glad you didn't discover caviar before we went to Dubai because then you would have wanted to share my tin.
That's so funny.
But this is what I don't get. And if anyone's a caviar person out there, you'll have to tell me. But I want to go into Petrosian and ask them. Because I remember when I was, like, younger, and I used to eat caviar, and then mm-hmm. I stopped for a while. I don't know why. But the best one was beluga.
Okay.
So it goes like beluga, and then ocetra, and then something.
Okay.
And then I feel like you used to get it from Russia, and then you didn't get it from Russia, and then it's Iranian. But Petrosian, which is, I think everyone would agree, is like the premier caviar brand, they don't sell beluga. Royal Ocetra is their highest grade. I have a weird like recollection that maybe beluga is not legal in this country.
Really?
Yeah.
Why would that be?
I don't know. Because maybe, who knows? Maybe like
Can
those fish are going
little...
extinct. I have no idea. But I didn't think about that. But when I had my $500 tin of beluga caviar in Dubai, I really liked
I'm
every...
I'm checking it now. Let's see if we can buy it here.
But I thought, oh my God, did I do something bad? Is that like one of those dinners where they serve like rare animals?
It's so funny. It says beluga caviar illegal. Like that's the first thing that comes up.
It is?
Let's see what that
why
means.
Is it illegal? And why is it legal in Dubai? You're not even allowed to smoke in
Dubai. It's currently considered to be critically... Oh, it's in danger. Caused the United States Fish and Wildlife Service to ban in 2005 the importation of beluga caviar, which is, yeah, it's originated in the Caspian Sea and Black Sea.
It's so good.
That's so funny.
You can't get it here. It's illegal. It's not illegal in Dubai.
Apparently not.
You can't smoke pot. You can't kiss in public.
But you can have fabulous
but
caviar.
But you can have a $500 tin of beluga.
Something.
Yeah. Oh, it was so good.
That's interesting.
But now I feel so bad that it's endangered. I didn't know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Whoopsies.
Oopsies. Anyway, now he loves caviar.
I know. It's so fun. Like, how did you barely try caviar now? Like, what?
But I remember when we went to, where did we go? Utah. To the Amangiri,
yeah, when
with
you,
the Bellows and yeah. the Olsons. We stopped in Las Vegas and we had caviar.
He didn't try it?
I feel like he did and he was sort of poo-pooing it. But you know what? Sometimes he gets a little stubborn.
Right.
And doesn't want to try it.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway. So we had the caviar and then we sat down and we had salads. And then they served the entree. And I have to say, the past hors d'oeuvres and they put a charcuterie and, you know, the meat and the cheese and the crudités, and it was beautiful. They did a great job. Pasta were great. Sat down for the meal. Salad was terrific. Bread was delicious. The decor was amazing. The entree was so bad.
Yeah, it was not good.
Inedible.
Yeah.
Inedible. I'm only bringing this up because I will tell you something. I've used them before, and the food is always amazing. Look, everyone has a clunker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They weren't prepared, whatever. The timing was off. Whatever it was, the entree was not good.
When I spoke to the chef, it was just the fact that it was very little space. So originally, I was asking if the butler's kitchen was going to be big enough. And the owner said—
Because my butler's kitchen is the size of most people's kitchens.
But yeah, but no, but the problem is that— It's one oven. There's no refrigerator. And
right.
So for them, it's difficult because they have to have enough counter space to plate everything and whatnot.
Right.
So for him, it was difficult. And he had, I think it was a total of three or four of them. And he had to let one of the chefs go because there was just no space and no room. So it was very tight.
All right. But they knew the space. So what I feel like they should have done is put a
which is what they normally
in
do.
In the garage,
right.
Which we've done before just
right.
to make more space. So you cook, you start everything down there and you finish it up there.
I even offered them to use the main kitchen
yeah.
earlier in the day, clean everything up, move it into the butler's
yeah.
kitchen and do it like that. I think there was just a lack of communication between the chef and the owner.
Yeah.
Because I made that very, very clear.
Well, here's the good news. I mean, the entree part was not good, but...
Yeah.
The owner of the restaurant emailed us the next day and took the entree off the bill
yeah.
and their administrative fee, which mm-hmm. I thought was like the most appropriate.
Yep.
We didn't even have to say anything
Nothing.
About it. She just said, this isn't our usual quality and blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Because honestly, that to me, that salvaged the relationship. I will now use them again.
Exactly.
100%.
Yep. Yeah, I agree.
And
we've
plan
used
better.
Caterers that have been very, what's the word?
Inappropriate.
Yes. Where it's made it difficult to have to work with them again.
Yeah. I mean, I think that at the end of the day, it's like, you know, you're in a service industry. Even Terry's the same way, too. I mean, he's a plastic surgeon, but it's a service industry. You have to give good service. People mm-hmm. have to feel like they're taken care of.
Yeah.
And if something happens and they're upset or whatever, you know, you have to make sure people are happy.
Absolutely.
But I love the way she handled it. I will absolutely use them again. And then, so anyway, so I did the sit-down dinner, and then we went downstairs in our basement for dessert. And of course, Brooke from Bang Pop Shop did all the desserts, and we had all the games going, and it was so fun.
It really was.
It was
a fun great
night.
Time, yeah.
Really, really fun. But Terry and the caviar was just...
I know.
So funny.
So funny.
And I have to say, so he's still sleeping, like... He still can't get on schedule.
Really?
No. It's been, 10, 11 days? Although he gets up very early to operate, so I guess I can't.
Maybe he's just, yeah.
Just can't get it together.
Back on the grind.
But you know what was nice? So we had the party Saturday night. I woke up Sunday and I went to the gym, had a Thai massage.
Nice.
Then I cleaned up the house for 2 hours.
Okay.
Took the little one shopping. It was like a nice day.
Yeah.
But anyway, I took the little ones shopping. They wanted to buy gifts for their brother and sister, which I thought was really sweet. And Terry and Chris, his brother, and everything. So I took them shopping, and we went out, met Terry and everyone. We had dinner out last night. For some reason, when we got home, I was done.
Yeah.
I was so tired. I put the little ones to bed. I kissed them goodnight. And I was so cold. I don't know why. It was so cold in the house. None of the air was on. I put on sweats, and I put on a beanie.
Did you get in bed with the beanie?
Uh-huh.
That's
and it was like 8:15. And I get into bed. Max comes in. She's like, what are you doing? I go, I'm so cold and I'm so tired and I just want to go to bed. She's like, okay. So she laughed. We talked for a few minutes and then she left. All she wanted to talk about was?
What?
Basketball.
Really?
She hates
it. Oh.
I'm like, oh, you're so near the end, dear. Just stick with it. You're fine.
It's her first sport.
You're going to be great.
My God, she'll never forget that.
No. So so she left, and then Terry comes in, and he goes, are you going to go to bed? I go, I'm so tired. I have to go to bed. He goes, okay. So he hops in bed with me, goes to wash up, hops in bed with me, and he goes, so is that a sleeping hat?
A sleeping hat?
I'm like, what is this, Little House on the Prairie? Who has a sleeping hat?
That's hilarious.
I go, when have you ever heard of a sleeping hat?
You're like, no.
No, it's just a hat. I'm cold.
Yeah.
So we fell asleep, literally, 8:20.
Yeah.
Nikki came in feeling sick. He didn't come to dinner with us because, you know, he went to the movies and he just ate too much, whatever. And sometimes when he does too much during the weekend,
it just gets him.
He's very delicate.
Yes.
So he came in and I thought it was the middle of the night. And I'm like, oh. And I hit Terry. I'm like, I can't. I'm too destroyed. Can you please go sit with him? And Terry goes, yeah. And he gets up. He goes, it's only 11.
You're like, oh.
I'm like, really? He goes, yeah, didn't you think it was the middle of the night? I'm like, I did. Goodbye. pulled my sleeping hat down and I rolled over and I went to sleep.
So funny.
Is that so funny?
And you slept the whole night?
Mm-hmm.
You don't wake up in the middle of the night?
I do.
I toss and turn so much.
I have good nights and I have bad nights. But I think finally... probably the jet lag and, you know, entertaining and, you know, Coco's birthday. There's just been a lot going on.
Yeah.
So I think I just hit my breaking point and I just needed to sleep.
That's good, though.
Oh,
it's so good to sleep.
But I was feeling so guilty and I thought, oh, if Terry doesn't go, I'm going to have to get up. I can't do it. Leave me and my sleeping hat alone.
So funny.
Oh my God, the kids wanted smoothies the other day.
Yeah.
What a disaster.
I feel like it's just so messy.
Not only is
so
it so messy, but we go to the store and they're like, I want this, I want that in my smoothie. So now I'm buying like a bundle of, you know, a bushel of blueberries.
Right.
And he wants literally two.
Stop.
That's Nikki's recipe. Or his is one. Max's is two blueberries.
That's ridiculous.
But I have to buy a whole carton.
Right.
And then it goes, so you waste so much stuff. That's why I love Daily Harvest. Daily Harvest sends superfood eats right to your door with your choice of smoothies, activated breakfast bowls, or nice cream, vegan sundaes. By the way, did we order those? I want the vegan sundaes. I haven't tried them.
You haven't?
No.
No, I'll do that.
I'm dying to.
Oh.
Oh my gosh, I love that. So it's single serving cups. Their stuff, the quality is so good. The cups are stored in the freezer, and so they're ready whenever you are. And when you see it, it's really beautiful. It's like the whole fruit. It's not like already blended
right.
So that you don't know what's in there. You can see every ingredient.
Yeah.
Daily Harvest freezes all their ingredients at peak freshness, sealing in their nutritional value. And it's so easy to prepare. You just add water, or if you're like fancy, you can put coconut milk or almond milk. But any way you do it, your daily harvest cup is ready in just 30 seconds. So you can eat right now. Go to daily-harvest.com and enter promo code Heather to get 3 items free off your first box. Maybe it's an ice cream. That's promo code Heather for 3 free daily harvest cups at daily-harvest.com. daily-harvest.com. Okay, so here we are.
What?
You're leaving for France.
I know.
On Wednesday.
I'm so excited.
Oh, by the time everyone hears this, you will be in Paris.
I know.
That's so exciting. We're recording a little early this week because Natalie's leaving. All right. So, couple of things, and then we need to like really discuss what's going on here. So, Danielle, our nanny.
Yeah.
Is also going to be in Paris.
Right.
She's going to Israel for a wedding, and then she and her sister are going to Paris. And the reason I'm bringing it up is because Natalie and I have this joke. One time, Natalie was in San Francisco with a boyfriend.
Yes.
And Danielle was in San Francisco, and their Instagram feeds were hilarious. Danielle's, and they're like the same age, and Danielle's Instagram feed is like crop tops and bars and hanging out here and trendy, cool. I mean, in a good way, not in like a slutty
way. Yeah, no.
She looked so chic.
Right.
So chic, so cool. And she's in all taking trendy pictures, street fairs.
Totally.
Remember there was like a street fair and trolley cars. And Natalie is sitting in a sweater eating a bread bowl.
Totally. By the way, but I'm so happy.
So happy.
I have like street music and I'm eating and I'm fat and it's awesome. And I've gained so much weight. I don't care.
It's all about the bread bowl.
Totally.
And we couldn't stop laughing. So,
oh, so good.
So Natalie gets invited by Chef Riley to go to Paris. And we're like, oh my God, this is fabulous. And then we find out Danielle is also going to Paris. So we can't wait to see the difference in the Instagram.
Well, now I'm going to step up my game.
No way.
Totally.
Go eat a croissant.
Oh, by the way, I'm eating. Trust me. Although we are going to like some of the most fabulous restaurants and places. So I feel like I gotta up my photo game a little bit.
I cannot wait to see. But also, you have to have a real croissant. Like at a real place. Go into a bakery.
Oh, I have a list of the best places to go.
Yeah, a real croissant. Yeah, no. When Nikki went with his school last year, Nikki's always loved European pastries.
Yeah.
And so when he went to school last year, to France with his school, I go, listen, you're not going to be at the best restaurants with school. And, you know, they'll serve you a croissant or something like at the buffet at the Marriott or wherever you're staying. I said, but, you know, they give you some free time. Walk into a bakery.
Yeah.
Get a fresh croissant.
Yeah.
Get fresh jam, whatever. So he tells me, I can't remember if I told you the story, but he tells me the story about how he did it.
Right.
And he had bought this croissant and then he bought a thing of jam.
Yep.
Fresh preserves.
Yep.
And he ate it. He said it was the best croissant ever. And he bought a second thing of jam and carried it around with him.
That's so cute.
Is that the cutest thing?
Oh my gosh. Yes. I love that.
He's so cute.
I know.
All right. So what's on the list? What are you doing? What are the plans?
I mean, literally every single day we have all we wanted to make sure we had because it was over the holidays were like dinner and lunch reservations.
Right.
So we booked everything. Like we have the Eiffel Tower on Christmas Day. We have like Michelin star restaurants. I mean, you name it. Like we have everything.
Wow.
So
what are you're going to tell us the names of the restaurants?
Yeah, but I don't. I mean, can I even pronounce them? Is the question?
I don't know. I want to hear.
Let's see. I will give you. I made us a little
thing. Itinerary.
Yep. Here you can.
I can't read. Oh, it's big font.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so Thursday is your first day there?
Yes. So that night.
Oh, you're going to the Plaza Atene.
Yes.
Oh, so Terry and I stayed there. It's fabulous.
Oh, you guys stayed there?
Oh, yes. Plaza Atene is beautiful. Oh, you're going to love it.
That is like.
That's dinner the first night?
That's dinner the first night.
Oh, it's so lovely.
That's like the one place he was just dying to go.
Yeah. At Plaza Atene is fabulous. Mm-hmm. It's so great. And they have a courtyard in them. It's really great.
Yeah.
Okay, and then Friday, Arpège for lunch and Kong for dinner. I don't know. I haven't been to Paris in so long. Years.
No idea.
Saturday, you have no plans.
I know. I got to figure
that out.
That's
a problem. 24th. Oh, Christmas Eve.
Is it Christmas Eve?
Yeah, Christmas Eve lunch.
Is it lunch? Okay, yeah.
And then you have a high tea at Le Maurice. Okay, that's nice. 25th, you don't have plans yet.
I know. I'm still waiting.
Oh, and on the 26th, you're going to go out to Versailles?
I think so.
Oh, that's cool.
I think so, yeah. Because we sort of wanted to leave it open. That way, if we got there and we walked by somewhere or we heard of another place, we had a few days of... A few days open.
Okay. What you don't have here... Oh, La Milouie. Yeah, you have to go there.
Yeah.
Don't forget.
No, I'm not going to.
Oh my God, you're going to love it. Yeah, you have to go to the George Sank.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Jeff Leatham does the flowers. But it's Le Grand Vais 4. Mm-hmm. That's why I gave you that one. Yeah, this is all perfect. And don't forget, there's a little cafe right next to the Louvre.
Right, that you said to go.
You go there and you drink wine. Right. Have a little bread and butter and wine.
Yep.
And then you walk through. It makes it much more fun.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited.
And where did they say to shop? Where did Jessica say to shop?
She actually didn't give me places to shop.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what you need.
Yeah,
where are you going to shop?
Out. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, you need the places to shop.
Yeah.
But you know, Colette, the store Colette, mm-hmm. it has a collaboration right now with someone good, like Gucci or Givenchy mm-hmm. or something. Colette's good.
Yeah.
And you have to go to the Galerie Lafayette.
That's what I heard. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You have to go there.
I have a feeling we're just going to walk around and get lost in Paris.
Oh, it's so romantic. So one of the kids said, is Chef Riley going to propose?
Yeah, right.
And I go, no. He barely calls her his girlfriend.
Exactly.
It's too
I met
early.
His dad, though.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
It was good. Such
He's
a sweet man.
He's close with his dad.
He's so close with his dad.
Okay, so
and so that's why I was a little nervous meeting him, because that's like his hero.
Is it weird that you're meeting him right before you go to Paris?
No, it just happened to be that he was out here.
Okay.
He's out here like once a year.
Huh.
So it just all worked
live?
Out in Oregon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oregon sounds like a depressing place to live.
You're so...
No, I'm saying, doesn't it rain a lot there?
That's Seattle.
Oh. Where's Oregon? You know I'm not Magellan. Higher?
Yep.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. I don't know.
I think it's north.
We're
Oregon.
So dumb. By the way, someone commented on Instagram recently about how they lost brain cells listening to our conversation about the time change.
Oh, right. From the Maldives. But I thought we figured it out. It was like 12 and 13 hours.
It's worse than that. It's 12-hour time difference from the States to Dubai.
Yeah.
13 hours.
In Maldives.
For Malé. And then in the Maldives, they've decided... They're another hour.
So they've
it's 14.
Decided.
Yes. They decided to do another hour so there was more daylight.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
Yeah, it was very confusing. I didn't even bring a watch.
Because you're like, what day is it?
I don't care. I'm just showing up.
It's good.
Okay, so you met Dad.
Dad. He's great. It wasn't that long, but he's just such a sweet man. And I could tell for him it was a relief. Because it was like, okay, like I haven't introduced somebody in a really long time. And
that's so sweet.
I know. It was nice.
So are you nervous? Are you excited? Are you what?
Yeah, no, I'm, you know what it is? I'm not even nervous. I already know how it's going to go, weirdly.
Why?
Because we've spent so much time together now.
Okay.
That I already, and I just, I feel like I know him so well. It's weird.
Did I tell you? I can't remember if I told you the story on air or off air, but the story about what Terry said to me after San Francisco. Did I tell you that on air?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I just feel like you're going to have an epic trip.
I do. I do too. I really do.
Really?
Yeah. We've only gotten to like one little bickering, but like him and I just don't argue. It's just easy. Like it's really easy with him. Oh my God. I have a follow up with the whole Ryan thing.
Really?
The ex. Yeah.
Why?
So. You know how him and his ex-fiancé and I are friends now, right?
You're friends with him?
No, the ex-fiancé.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we text like every day. We're like friends. It's weird. Okay.
Wait, doesn't she work here?
No, she's in Minnesota.
Who's the one that was working for someone we knew?
Working for someone we knew?
Yeah, I remember it was like, I hope this isn't awkward, but
right. That was the girl that he was cheating on me with.
Oh.
The texting.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that little thing.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay, going on.
Okay, so she goes, I have to call you. She was like, this is so funny. And I go, oh, God, what? And she goes, I was looking at my story, and I just randomly clicked on this girl's photo, and I click on her profile, and it's photos of her and Ryan together.
Okay.
And they were back in... August. It was like beginning of August.
Okay.
She was calling him babe. Mind you, we broke up end of July, right?
Okay.
Nice. So I am, and her name was, should I not say her name?
Yeah, say her name.
Okay, Brittany with the good hair. Okay. Which I was dying. And I click on it, I go, she looks familiar. I go, I could have sworn she sent me a message. And I look back, and she had sent me a message back in April saying, hey, Natalie, we have a lot of mutual friends. And I just wanted to say that I really look up to you. You look like you're such a hard worker and this and that. Like a random thing, okay? Hmm. And I never responded, but it was always in the back of my head. Like, oh, I wonder who that girl is. Like, I wonder who the mutual friend is. And then I look and Daniel, my best friend, and them, they follow each other. So okay. I screen grabbed it and I sent it to him. And I go, who is this girl? He goes, oh, that's Jeremy Dunn's ex-girlfriend. Now, Jeremy is a guy who has had the biggest crush on me for years.
Okay.
He is Bob Olson's nephew.
Shut
up. Who works with Riley. And there was always, he had always tried to like get with me. And so it was a thing when I met Riley because I was like, oh.
I remember that.
You remember that story?
Yeah.
Okay. So I was like, oh, so it's Jeremy's. So I think she always had, and he always made it known that he had a really big crush on me. So now I think she always knew about me and was, I think, a little
stalking you, and then now dates Ryan.
She had liked photos of me and Ryan together. How
that is
creepy,
so weird.
Is that?
But does she live in Minnesota?
No, she lives here in Newport.
So how do they date?
No.
Oh, Ryan's here. Duh.
Yeah,
he's from Minnesota.
Right,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
right,
right, right.
Yeah, isn't that creepy? And so
yes.
I responded to that message, and I go, "Thank you. That's so sweet." I go, "How funny you're dating Ryan. What a small world. Best of luck, XX." An hour later. Blocks me. Completely blocks me. Isn't that so funny, though?
That is so random.
It's so random. It is so... I'm like,
well, by the way, hi, Ryan.
Exactly.
Since we know you're still listening.
Oh, who knows? Who cares? Or maybe she listens. But isn't that bizarre?
Totally bizarre.
Something that would happen to me.
That is crazy. All right, let's talk about your wardrobe. It's freezing and mildly rainy in Paris.
It's freezing and raining. So, so I bought boots, but they're suede.
That's not going to work.
I know, but they're comfortable and they were on sale.
What kind of sale?
Like a really good sale.
But what's the bottom of them?
They're like a thicker. There was the Stuart Weitzman. That's what Samara said to get. They were like half off.
I got to see them because they'll be ruined and then you'll be upset.
I was thinking on the days that it's not raining, that's the shoe because apparently they're so comfortable.
Okay, good.
So I was thinking doing those. I have another little booty with like a thicker heel. I just need a daytime like flat, like a sneaker. And then.
Okay, but that to me, that's your issue right now. Because originally
yes.
I told you to get like a boot with a rubber sole, like
right.
those opening ceremony ones
right.
that I have. Because I wore those in Ireland. That was perfect.
Yeah.
Loved those. And they weren't very expensive.
Right.
You're saying everyone's wearing sneakers.
Yeah.
Like fancy sneakers.
Like a fancy sneaker, like a designer shoe.
But you don't like to wear flats.
I know.
So what are you going to do about that?
That's the problem. I mean, don't they make sneakers, though, with like a little bit of a...
Well, I have those Nike wedges.
Yeah. I thought Vince made some that had a thicker sole.
They might, but it's hard to walk in like those lug soles that are completely flat on the bottom because
yeah.
you like go slap, 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 slap. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Instead of like your foot rolling.
Right.
It can be uncomfortable.
I should have done this a long time ago and actually walked in them and seen if they were comfortable.
Because those little Karl Lagerfeld booties, and they're not booties, they're sneakers,
uh-huh.
have like that fat sole.
Right.
And I wore them on Halloween when I was a robber.
Oh, right.
And then I brought them to Las Vegas because I thought I'd walk around in them. I had such a blister. It was so bad. By the way, you need to get blister blocker. There was the rub.
Yep, I'm going to write that down.
Yeah.
Yep, that's a good idea.
That's one of my favorite things.
And then I have a coat. And a few jackets and skirts, dresses,
I feel
tops.
Like you need a colorful scarf.
I know you keep saying that. But now I have to go and look for one. I was just going to do black. Like,
that's,
you just can't go.
I know. You need a color.
Really?
Yeah.
But then you just wear the same color. I feel like...
Yeah. Well, you switch off. You have two other scarves that are dark.
Yeah, true.
And then you just switch it out.
True.
Just gives you a little...
Color, little
yeah.
pop. Maybe.
No.
Yeah, but now I have to go and find one.
So you have pants, you have skirts, you have tights.
I think I have everything.
Dresses. You have all
yeah.
your accessories laid
it's
out.
My bag that I'm worried about.
Oh.
Like my daytime bag.
You need a crossbody for sure.
Right.
Can't be lugging around that big toe.
No, I'm not bringing this one.
So what do you have?
Nothing yet.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I'm planning on going tonight and just knocking it out.
Okay, you need a cross. You definitely need
but
a crossbody.
But I heard everyone wears it in the front. Crossbody in the front, but it's not that big.
What's not
that
big?
I heard like the bags are like you shouldn't wear like a big bag.
I feel like you need a, you're going to be walking around all day, so you're going to need like to throw your scarf in there in case you're cold. You want to throw your money in there.
It's like a money, lip gloss, a little like a blush brush. And I mean, what else do I really need? Do I have to take my passport around with me everywhere?
I don't. I always leave it locked in the safe in the hotel room.
Okay. Because I heard some that it was sketchy, and then
you're staying in a nice hotel.
Yeah.
I really wouldn't worry about it. I would just leave. But just make sure you lock the safe.
Yeah.
And you're fine.
Yeah. I don't know. I got to figure out a bag.
What's your plan for the plane? Because my sister is in Australia right now.
Yeah.
And so she's never taken one of those epically long flights before. And so I was on the phone with her before she left, and her two boys were in the car, and we were talking, and I was telling them, bring pajamas, change your clothes.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? And giving them my whole routine. But of course, Skylar's husband travels all the time. So she was like, oh, Keith said the same thing. They're good, whatever. What's your plan?
I was just going to go comfy, like cute comfy.
Well, you're not flying there with him.
No.
And the flight's what, 11 hours?
Mm-hmm. Like around there.
Okay.
Yep. So I was just going to do like comfortable, like warm legging. And I was just going to wear one of the shoes. I think I was going to do like the short boot because I can just take them off.
You can take them off for sure.
Yeah.
My question is this. Like, are you going to go without makeup and then do your makeup?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. That's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. I'll have my hair done because then we have to, once I get off the plane, boogie to the hotel. And then we have our first reservation at like 8:30.
So how many bags are you bringing?
I don't know, have to figure that out still.
So what I did, which really worked well, which you might want to think about, mm-hmm. just in case you're running late so you don't have to open everything and find everything, is I put in my, you know the little wheelies that mm-hmm. we have that go on board? In my wheelie, I put my cosmetics.
Yep.
And I put my outfit for that first night.
Right.
And like everything I would need for the first 24 hours.
That way you're not like having to go through the big bag. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to figure that out.
I even had my outfit for the next day in there.
I need to buy a luggage too, big one.
Take one of mine.
I know,
Natalie.
I really have a big one.
Take one of mine. Seriously?
I know.
Don't go buy it. Take mine.
Yeah, I may need to.
Yes, that's fine. I give you scarves and hats. Tell me what you need. I want to give you a brooch
for your
bag.
My luck, they'll lose the bag.
So they lose it, whatever. Who cares?
No, it's all my stuff with me in there, too.
Oh, that's, by the way.
That scares me. But that's why you should have the small carry-on just in case.
Exactly. So I'm going to tell you exactly what I put in mine.
Okay.
All right. So I, you know, the bummer about girls is that we need the same amount of cosmetics if you're going for one night or a
I
week.
Know.
Doesn't matter. You still need all the same stuff. But, you know, you put them in smaller sizes.
Yeah.
So I have all my small size stuff. I put on one side all of my cosmetics,
mm-hmm.
everything, makeup, everything. And then on the other side, I had my outfit for dinner that night, all the accessories that went with it, and my clothes for the next day.
Just in case.
Just in case. Yeah. First of all, that way I only needed to open this one case.
Right.
That was the first thing. That way, even if you wake up in the morning and you're like rushed for time, deal with the other clothes later.
Yep.
But if they lose your bag, usually they get it to you within 24 hours.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
Okay. Oh my God, I'll do that.
Everyone loves their sweets at the holiday, but if you're going to eat something, it's got to be worth it. That's where Ethel M chocolates come in. They're fancy, they're preservative free, and they're bean to box straight from the source. And they're crafted using solar energy. And it's so cool. Their recipes date back to 100 years, and they make small batches. Ethel M chocolates are always a part of life's sweetest moments, such as, you know, holiday traditions, family gatherings, you can give them as gifts, sitting by the fireplace. I love that. I love when, you know, I'm sitting around with the family and, you know, everyone wants a little something sweet and I pull out a little box of chocolates and everyone just gets a chocolate and it's fancy. So visit www.ethelm.com and use promo code Dubrow for 25% off your order. There's no minimum. That's Ethelm, Ethelm.com and use promo code Dubrow to get 25% off fabulous things like peppermint bark gift boxes, advent calendars, holiday cheer double hot chocolate tins, liqueurs, and so much more. Go check them out today. That's Ethelm.com.
Oh, yeah, I have so much to do.
It's so exciting.
I know. I'm so excited. He leaves today. So
what did he say to you? Like,
oh, he's like, okay, I'll see you in 3 days. Oh, it was just, yeah, I stayed with
him. So will he call you or text you till then?
Mm-hmm.
He will?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Is he calling you his girlfriend now?
Yes, he is, finally. Jesus.
Isn't that cute?
It's adorable.
So are you calling him your boyfriend?
Yeah, he made a comment. I made a comment like, so are you ever going to make it official? Like on Instagram? I'm like, are we just... keeping me a secret. What's going on? He was like, well, now you killed. He's like, I wanted to post like this epic photo of us in Paris. And I know. So I think that's going to happen.
See, sometimes you can't overplan.
I know.
Oh, my God. I love that. I'm yes. so excited for you. And then you come back on the 29th?
7th.
27th. And then you're going to do New Year's Eve with him.
Yeah, but I think we're just going to keep it mellow. We're just going to, just him and I. I don't know, at his house, my house.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, just him. Yeah.
That's so sweet.
Yeah. I think he wants to cook and just have a nice bottle of champagne.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. It's better than having to go out and do the
whole. Well, New Year's Eve is tough. I mean, you got price fixed dinners.
It's just
and
too
you have
much.
To you have to like sit there till midnight. And what's so funny is, you know, coming from the East Coast, New Year's Eve was always huge.
Right.
But you like people wouldn't go out till 11.
Right. That sounds exhausting to me,
though.
When
the ball drops is when the party starts.
Yeah.
And you come home at 5 in the morning. It's super fun.
Oh, my gosh.
Here on the West Coast, 12:01. Bye. Good night, everybody.
Totally.
Happy New Year. Good night.
Totally. That's me.
But now I'm totally. Like that, too. So it's completely fine. We're actually going to take the kids out for the early seating at Mastro's. And we're going to, you know, do like... You know, because it's decorated and it's festive and they have live music and we'll have dinner with them. And then, you know, we're going to take them home.
And then what are you guys going to do? Just you and Terry? Anything?
Well, you know, we have this thing that we do every year where we write down what happened this past year and what we hope happens next year.
You're doing it the night before, right?
We're going to do it the night before.
Yeah.
We're going to Nobu, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I know. I'm excited. I love that. So we'll have our little alone New Year's moment.
Right.
And then... You know, we'll do the...
And the kids will stay up that late? They will probably,
no.
right? You don't
Til
think so?
Midnight?
I feel like they were up at the party for...
Last year in Puerto Rico, they stayed up till midnight.
Yeah. Because that was, I mean...
But also, we went out
you
later.
Were out. Yeah, exactly.
I don't think we went out till 9:30.
Because
we were
at
the pool and we were here and we were there, you know.
Yeah.
Home is different.
Yeah, great.
What I figure will happen is we'll come back, the twins...
I'm surprised the kids don't have like a party to go to or like friends to hang out with.
Well, it's still early. Let's see what happens. And I told the twins if they wanted to invite friends, it was, you know, totally fine. Their friends are very, very nice. I never mind when their friends...
Good group.
Yeah, when their friends come along.
Yeah.
It's nice because they're in a good mood and their friends are... Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. That'll be fun.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited for you.
I know. Me too.
You
Although I have anxiety. I feel like it's weird leaving for that long.
You know what? Once you get on the plane, because that's... I was worried too before our trip. Once you get on the plane, you just go... Just, it's fine.
Yeah.
Everyone will manage.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Don't worry. I am not going to bug you. Everything's
no, it's
fine.
Okay. You can.
No, no, no. I wouldn't. I just want you to just go and have the
and
best time. And eat bread bowls and have caviar. Maybe they have illegal beluga there.
Oh, maybe. Oh, I feel so bad now
so
that I know.
Sad. Yeah, but do it anyway.
Okay. Red pill. Take the red pill. I forgot. Don't remember what that was.
It's so funny.
I know.
All right, no, you're going to have a fabulously epic time. Oh, I hope everyone has such a wonderful holiday.
I know. It's crazy. It's a whole new year.
It's good. I love it. I think, like, you know... You know, every Monday is like a new chance. We've talked about this before, but I used to hate Sunday nights.
Right.
Because I thought, I have anxiety and da, da, da. Now I feel like Sunday night's good.
Bring it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Monday, you never know what's going to happen. You got a whole new week. You got a new chance. A new. Natalie and I were talking recently about, I had a bunch of shows I was working on and a lot of them have fallen by the wayside. And one of them seems to have a bit of life to it, which is cool. But and then, you know, opportunities sort of change.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, there's this flurry of new things that have come into my path.
Right.
That our path, really, that we're working on. And it's exciting.
It is. It is. You just can't get discouraged.
No. You got to. I love that quote, like, people always quit right before they're about to succeed.
Exactly.
And you got to think about that because you just don't know. And here it is. And we're coming up to a new year.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, we're not going to be back until after the new year. We're going to do next week. We have a best of.
Yep.
So let's talk about the new year for a second. Because I love the possibilities in the new year. And we're doing this really. So Terry and I, we've talked about this, but Terry and I wrote a new book and we just finished it. And it's a diet book and it's amazing. And it's, you know, really gives you an ageless body and good cell turnover and really turns back the hands of time. And it's not coming out till next October. We've never written a diet book before.
Right.
So what I understand now is that when people write those kinds of books, they like to do control groups and take people through. So we thought, well, we're going to do our own control group. Mm-hmm. And we picked one man and one woman. to be our guinea pigs, and we're going to take them on a journey this year with you guys, and you're going to get to see their results and how they handle our program, and then they're going to get makeovers, and we're going to do it all on E! News. It's really going to be fun. I'm so excited about the whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely, because if they can do it, you can do it, you know?
Oh, you so can do it. Everyone can. So I really want everyone to think about the new year as like new opportunity.
Yes, exactly. Like just change your mindset kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
It's never too late.
Not only is it never too late, it's like it's just the beginning. I don't care how old you are.
Exactly.
It's just the beginning. Terry and I were talking last night about like goals and things like that. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about, he goes, you know, I'm going to be 60 mm-hmm. next year. And I go, yeah, but you look great. And he goes, yeah. He goes, I'm just thinking about what I want to do with the time I have left. Mm. So we started talking about that because I said, what's important to you? Is it important to you to like leave a legacy?
Right.
And he said, not really. Mm-hmm. He goes, I think for him, he has goals of things and then he wants to make sure the kids are taken care of.
Right.
That's what's important to him.
Right.
And like some other things that I'll let him talk about. But for me, I was saying, I don't care about leaving a legacy. I mean, if you look at, you know, some of the biggest performers of all time or the biggest people, mm-hmm. you know, once they're gone.
Right.
They're gone.
Yeah. But even like a legacy within your family.
I think the legacy that we're leaving is, you know, love mm-hmm. and building a great, tight family and great memories.
Right.
And, you know, even when we didn't have a ton of money, I always made sure we had events and celebrated things,
right.
even on small scales and whatever it was. You know, I always...
It's about the moment and
always.
Yeah.
Never have missed a beat. And Terry was talking about that also last night, how appreciative he is that I always keep those things going. He's like, because, you know, if it was up to me, I wouldn't do any of it.
Exactly.
He goes, but then I look back or I'm there at the moment going, this is so cool.
Yeah.
Like we're going to Mariah Carey because I'm obsessed with Mariah Carey.
Yep.
And she's doing this Christmas show in Vegas for a couple weeks. And I'm so excited to see her. And he has been bitching and complaining. We're just going for one night. But he's been bitching about it for so long. I had to rearrange my schedule. I go, but I really want to go. And he said to me, he goes, I'm so glad we're going.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's really excited.
So he had to like get over that other part. And
well, he got to this moment where he was like, I love how you move us in the direction. You make us take these breaks and you make us have these moments and these celebrations. And it's so good.
God, I'm so glad he appreciates it.
So he loves
that.
I think for me, the legacy I'm leaving to my kids is being there for them and loving them and fostering a relationship between them mm-hmm. and helping them become functioning, independent adults, which was what I hope I'm doing.
Absolutely.
But like for me, I don't care what other people think I'm doing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like
right.
I don't need to do like 12 shows or this and that because I want other people to see it. It's like I enjoy being creative and I enjoy working. And so I'm kind of like going forward and having all these cool different opportunities.
As long as it fulfilled you, then you feel like you're happy.
Yes.
Right. Not like what other people thought of you and what you did with your
exactly.
own career. Right.
The only thing I don't like feeling I'm spinning my wheels.
Okay.
You're the same way.
Yeah.
I don't want to feel like I'm on some hamster track and I'm just doing everything by rote mm-hmm. and it's just not exciting or, you know, it doesn't feed my soul.
Mm-hmm.
But we have such crazy things going on right now. I can't wait to share. I'm not trying to be
that
like,
person.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be like, big things coming. Stay tuned. But, you know, there are big things coming. But I like to talk about it once it's happening. So anyway, so you guys will take the journey with us. I'll tell you what we're doing. Some things you might approve of, some things you might not, but we'll talk about everything. And anyway, that's where I'm at, and I hope you guys all get there too. And if you don't know what Terry and I do, so we write down what happened this past year separately, and then we write down what we hope happens next year.
Mm-hmm.
So what we hope happens next year, I put it in an envelope and I seal it, and then we don't look at it. And then we take the one we just wrote about what happened last year and we sit down at dinner mm-hmm. and we read them to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we go, and it's funny, like what I remember, what he remembers, you know, and we go over the year and we really talk about what we did well, what we need to work on and the whole thing. And then we open up what we wrote last year and see if any of it came true.
I love that. I really do.
But it's so funny because some years, like, we're, like, not in a good place. Not with each other, even, but just, like, whatever.
Life,
not,
yeah.
So we write, like, you could just tell the tone was kind of
really?
Nasty. And then a year later, we're in a good spot. And it's just so interesting. The first year is boring when you do this because you don't have anything to open.
Right.
But you still have the year in review.
Yep.
It's such an incredible thing to do. I highly recommend it. It's been so good for me and Terry. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what I wrote this year. Okay, so Happy New Year. Merry Christmas.
Yes.
We're doing a best of next week. We have a little intro to it, but
yes.
We have a best of next week, and then we'll be back in the new year. Thank you guys all so much for your support of everything that Natalie and I do here and Heather DuBrow's World and Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig podcast and my YouTube channel, Heather's Closet. And coming up, hey, Kat and Heather. New YouTube channel. So excited about it. We're going to be starting that very, very soon. Console Beauty has beauty tools coming out in January. That's going to be really fun. So much fun stuff. All right, let's move on to our beauty tip. I have one that I was going to do, but I'm going to add it. So since you're traveling.
Okay.
So in case people didn't understand what we were talking about before, mm-hmm. I have this thing called blister blockers. So I think it's Johnson & Johnson. They used to make these Band-Aids called blister blockers. I think they still do. It's like a silicone pad mm-hmm. that you can put on your heel to prevent a blister. Those are good.
Okay.
But they also have this thing, it looks like a deodorant, and you rub it mm-hmm. on the areas so it doesn't rub, so your feet don't rub.
Yes.
They're really good. And I also really still like pre-heels mm-hmm. is a spray that gives you like a little bit of a coating there also.
Right.
And I like, what's the minty one? Still Standing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, it helps your feet stay like energized and minty.
Yep.
All of those, spray them all, because my bunion is on fire. Meanwhile, I posted a picture of myself in a swingy chair with a frosé.
Yes.
And someone commented on my bunion.
Rude.
Yes.
How dare they?
How rude. My bunions are so bad.
I know, but it's a painful surgery.
I know. I've been begging Scott to do both at the same time, but he won't do it. But if all you're noticing is the bunion when I'm sitting in a bikini with a frosé. Well, I have a cover-up on, let's be honest. Anyway, so that's the foot thing. But the original one I was going to do was, here's my beauty tip. So I had this dinner party we were talking about, mm-hmm. and I really left enough time, the whole thing. But of course, things happen, so I really didn't leave enough time. I think I got ready in 35 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
Wet hair to out the door. Mm-hmm. But here's my thing. I wanted to add a little color, and it ended up being good to my eyeshadow. Don't test things on the night of an event.
Yep.
It's just like a wedding. Do a trial.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, do a trial. And even if you can't replicate it perfectly, you'll have an idea. Or if you put it on and you hate it, if you're trying something out on the night or like, oh, I want sparkles on my face and you put them on and it looks terrible, you got to wash your face and start over and then you're going to be late. And I heard a story recently about some holiday party that I wasn't at it, that someone went to, and the woman, the wife of the couple, was 40 minutes late to her own party.
That's my biggest pet peeve.
Yeah, like, how do you do that? You're upstairs.
Yeah,
get dressed. Come down.
Yeah.
You're going to make an entrance to your... I don't get that. Anyway, so do a trial. For our hippest, hottest, newest, I got the coolest gift from the Jerry team.
Uh-huh.
So if you've never seen them, they're on Instagram. It's called Jerry. It's very, very funny. So they sent me this game that they made. Do you know Cards Against Humanity?
Yes.
It's like that, but it's memes.
Oh my God, I just bought it.
You bought it?
I did.
They sent it to me. It's called, and it's called What Do You Meme?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, it is.
Did you play it already?
Yes.
Okay.
It's epically funny. Max and Nikki
love it. Oh, I can't wait to play it.
Oh, it's so funny. If you need a last minute gift for someone, I mean, because it's good for teenagers, it's good for college mm-hmm. kids, it's good for adults. It's hilarious.
Oh my God, I love it.
What Do You Meme? Oh my gosh. So funny. Man, I love Amazon.
You really do.
I do. You know what? Everything that I ordered online for the holidays that wasn't from Amazon has been a disaster.
I know.
Everything from Amazon comes when it says it's going to come. I love them.
I know.
Hey, so we have been picked by Amazon to be influencers because we're influential. So we have our own Amazon page. Go to amazon.com/shop/Heather DuBrow. It's so cool. So what basically it means is we put up our favorite products and the products we use and adore are listed there so you can check them out. We're also going to be updating the page and we're including products we talk about on the podcast and, you know, our beauty tips and hippest, hottest, newest. Consult Beauty is represented there. And, you know, a lot of times Consult Beauty's got good deals on Amazon mm-hmm. that you can't get anywhere else. They may even give us a small kickback for any purchases you make after accessing that site. So check it out, because that keeps our podcast for free. So the link again is amazon.com/shop/Heather Dubrow. What's easier than shopping with Amazon? Okay, stay tuned. We have a really fabulous gal coming on the show today named Tiffany Rich, who has cystic fibrosis. And Terry met her at a charity event a couple of months ago and was really just so taken with her and her story and told me about her. And I wanted to have her on. So she is coming up next. She's very inspiring. Stay tuned. Happy Earth Month, everybody. I know that every year we write down different goals that we want to accomplish. And maybe one of your goals for 2024 is to shop sustainably. Well, here's some fantastic news. Macy's makes it easy to do just that. This Earth Month, join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. And by the way, who doesn't love going to the park, especially in the spring? Super cute little doggies on leashes, soaking up the sun with your friends or your kids or your little nieces and nephews. Well, check this out. Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project. Their goal is to transform vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help create healthy, livable communities for generations to come. I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes to make a huge difference. Donate online or in store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose.
Hey guys, it's me, Corinne. I got a new podcast on Podcast One called So Random with me, Corinne. Tune in for the good, the bad, the ugly, and even embarrassing. Peen your pants convos all the way. Unfiltered, oh yeah. Download new episodes every Thursday at PodcastOne.com, the new Podcast One app, or subscribe at Apple Podcasts.
You're listening to Heather Dubrow's World.
Please welcome Tiffany Rich.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. So my husband's in love with you.
Oh, I love him so much.
In love with you. So I'm just going to give a little background how we met.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about your journey and everything that's gone on with you and your cystic fibrosis mm-hmm. and your cool Salty Sisters, which I think is amazing. I want to hear about everything. But the way I met you is through, we have mutual friends.
Yes.
And we were invited to come to a big event that you guys were throwing. And then the wives got mysteriously uninvited. Right. And it turned into a guys' trip. And my husband came home and Terry said, oh my gosh, Tiffany is like a miracle.
Oh, well, we had so much fun. I talked medical talk with him, so that was pretty cool.
So let's scroll back and, okay. and talk about you know, your journey, because what has happened with you has been incredible. A lot of people, when they get diagnosed with cystic fibrosis or any kind of syndrome or ailment or disease, a lot of times they shut down.
For sure. Yeah.
And what you've done is you have done the polar opposite.
Yeah, I try to stay positive.
Take me back to your journey.
Okay, so I was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis when I was born. It's a genetic incurable disease. It's lung and digestive.
How many people have that in this country?
30,000.
30,000.
Yeah, so it's pretty rare.
Yeah.
They don't have a lot of funding for it, so it's hard to get the funding to do research and development for a cure or drugs and stuff, but they've come a long way. So how did
cystic fibrosis impact you as you were growing up?
So while I was growing up, I was in and out of the hospital a lot. I was pretty sick. My lungs needed tune-ups, we call them, and IV antibiotics that we get for 2 weeks at a time, and I would go in probably every year. I had a couple years that I was good. I played soccer. I did gymnastics. I did dance. So I was very active. My parents made sure I was very active.
I love that.
You know,
how did the other kids react to you and what was going on with you?
So it was funny. I didn't know I was different until I went to school. I thought everybody did breathing treatments. I thought everybody had digestive enzymes before they had to eat. It was pretty funny until I got to school and I saw that I was different, and that was okay.
That means your parents did such a fabulous job of normalizing your situation. How
totally.
Cool is that?
Yeah, it was great. And those kids at school were really supportive, actually. They knew that I couldn't do everything, but I did it to a point that I could, especially the teachers. They were so good with me and let me eat in class, and everybody else couldn't. But they were so supportive. Everybody's been so supportive of me, which is great because people can be mean lately. And I've had so much love and support, especially growing up. And my parents did such a wonderful job. They're my rocks, and they do everything for me. So I'm so blessed to have them.
That's fantastic. So you were having all your tune-ups and your treatments, and then one day you got some very shocking news.
Yes. So when I was 23, I got told that I needed a double lung transplant because my lungs hadn't gotten to a point that they were so scarred up from all the infections, because they get scarred up from all those, and it's irreversible. So you can't change that. And
how many with people with cystic, if you know this, how many people with cystic fibrosis need to get a lung transplant?
I don't know the actual number. I know a lot of people do. Okay. Eventually. It's progressive. So
that much, I can't even imagine what it's like to find a donor.
Oh, it's.
And do you need to have both done? Can you live with one lung?
Nope. Cystic fibrosis is two, because if I only had one, then the CF would go into the other one.
Okay.
The bacteria, and then it would be pointless.
Okay.
So you have to have two, and it has to be the same donor, of course, because then the rejection rate would be
much higher.
Yeah. So it's insane what you have to go through. You have to do testing, and then you have to go through the waiting process, which the waiting process is... It's hard. It's very emotionally, like, distressful. And
right, because you can't, obviously, like, if you needed a kidney, someone alive could give you a kidney.
Exactly.
But if you need two lungs, they have to be brain dead, but they have to be someone who fills out a donor card.
Oh, for sure. They have to be registered. And
are you a registered donor?
I am.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, it's important. It's very important because I waited 2 years and 8 months for my lungs.
Wow.
And usually you wait 6 months to a year, but I'm very small. I'm only 5 foot. So it's hard to get small lungs. And my blood type was like the universal donor. So it was harder to get that because it was going to everybody else, you know. And then when I did get my lungs, I was super sick. I couldn't walk 5 feet.
Before you got the transplant.
Yeah, I couldn't walk 5 feet.
You were declining.
Yeah. I was on 6 liters of oxygen 24/7. We didn't really know how long it was going to last. It was crazy. So they came at the right time.
Your mom is sitting behind you. I can't even imagine.
I know.
As a parent, I just can't imagine. So you get the news that you're going to get these lungs.
Yeah.
And what do you think?
So... I was sleeping, and usually I have my phone next to me on the left side where my charger is, but for some reason it was on my right side and it was underneath my thigh, and I missed the call.
Oh my gosh, the one call,
and it was 2:30 in the morning, so I looked at it, I think I got the last ring, and it said unknown, so I was like, well, this might be like a telemarketer,
you know,
and then they called right back, and I was like, okay, this is very, very important, so I went and I answered it, and they're like, oh, we have an offer for you, we have lungs, and I was like, oh, okay. And my mom, she gets up at 2:30 in the morning to go to work. So it happened to be right when she got up. And it was perfect because she didn't leave yet.
So you go out and you tell her.
Well, she came in the room when I was on the phone. She's like, why are you on the phone? And I was like, mom, shh, it's the call. It's the call. And she's like, what? And I was trying to hear what we're supposed to do.
Right. Because it's like, okay, now what?
Yeah, what am I doing?
You ship them, I come to you.
Yeah, exactly. So they told me, oh, you don't need to be here until 8 o'clock in the morning. You can go back to bed. Really?
Yeah.
After a call like that, you're going to tell me to go back to bed?
By the way, I didn't even consider this. This is like not a tomorrow thing.
No.
This is like a right now.
Exactly.
And you know what I'm thinking is, obviously because my husband's a surgeon and I know about surgery, had you eaten? When was the last time you ate?
Yeah.
Did they ask, they asked those questions. What medication, had you been taking Advil? Like,
so
what?
After they called, I ate something because I was like, well, I got a little bit of time. So I ate because I knew I wasn't going to be able to eat.
Right.
And I didn't know how long after the surgery, when I was going to be able to eat.
Right.
So I ate, and Then my mom's like packing a bag. I told myself to pack a bag. They tell you to pack a bag. Okay, I waited 2 years and 8 months. I didn't have a bag packed. So she's frantically going and putting stuff in a bag. And I'm just sitting there calling my friends, my boyfriend and stuff. And no one answers a phone at 2:30 in the morning.
No.
And my best friend's sister was the only one that answered that early. And she said, 5 minutes ago, my body told me to wake up. Like, I was told to wake up. And I was like, oh, well, I got the call. So it was pretty awesome.
Incredible.
Yeah. So we went to the Stanford Hospital.
Okay.
And we actually waited until the next day.
Okay.
To get lungs because my donor was in a car accident. So there was punctures on the lungs, but they said they were such good lungs, they couldn't let them go.
Okay.
So they had to patch them, and then they screen them to make sure that the person did not have a cold. They didn't have anything going on while they were, you know, they're brain dead. Then they're able to give me the lungs.
Wow.
So it was a process, and we had a party in the hospital room. All my friends came. Before the surgery. Because we were waiting for so long. And then at 8 o'clock at night.
Were you worried that there was a possibility that it was not going to go through?
Oh, for sure. Because that happens a lot. One of my friends had 2 dry runs. That's what they're called. They're dry runs because the lungs weren't transplantable. So you have that going through your head. It might not happen, but let's make the most of it. Let's have fun. Let's be happy because I'm going to get lungs. I'm going to breathe, you know? So we had fun and they were a go. I got wheeled into the operating room. I think it's 6 a.m.
How long was the surgery?
It was 7.5 hours.
Okay.
So it was pretty emotional going into the operating room. I started crying. That was the only time I got emotional. The whole time I was just really calm. I was coloring and I was calm. I didn't talk much because, you know, it's kind of a big deal. They're going to cut you open and give you some new lungs.
So they go through the chest, they crack you?
Yeah, they did a sternotomy.
Yeah.
And then they put them in and then they wire you back up.
Wow.
It's crazy what they do. And it's like,
so how quickly, what's the recovery like for that?
So my recovery was a lot because of the punctures in there.
Mm-hmm.
So usually you're only in the hospital for 2 to 3 weeks. I was in there for 4.
Okay.
I had chest tubes for 30 days. And then
that's very uncomfortable.
Yeah. And I had to get intubated twice because my heart could not handle the breathing. At one point.
Because there was so much oxygen coming in?
There was so much going on, and they had to intubate me again. And then they used too big of an intubation, so my vocal cord got really lazy, so I couldn't swallow. So then I had to have a feeding tube,
yeah.
And then I lost like 20 pounds, and I was only 80 pounds, and I'm tiny, so I was tiny going in, and then I was super tiny, and I lost all my muscle, so I'm still recovering. I'm still getting all my muscle back.
How long ago was this?
This was a year ago. Actually, we just had my lungiversary.
Had your lungiversary.
Yeah, November 30th.
Oh, my
goodness. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah.
Mom, have you recovered?
I'm getting there.
You're getting there. Yeah.
She was in the hospital every day. She slept in the ICU. There's no beds for people. Mm-mm. She slept on the chair.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's awesome. Amazing mom. So
throughout all of this, yeah. I mean, I'm listening to you tell the story, and it's like, this is a consuming mm-hmm. situation.
Yes.
But on top of this, dealing with this, waiting for lungs, having this surgery, recovering from this surgery, you have managed to start multiple foundations.
Mm-hmm.
And be an advocate for cystic fibrosis. So tell me, you know, how that started. Tell me about Salty Sisters and why this was important for you.
Okay, so Salty Sisters, I met my best friend. She has cystic fibrosis as well, and she lives in Maryland. So when I have a YouTube channel, it's Lungs for Tiff, and I did a video about my reaction of getting put on the list and getting told that I needed a double lung transplant. And she saw it and she instantly messaged me she slid in the DMs, okay, on Instagram and told me that She watched it and it helped her so much because a week later she was told that she might need one, and it got her ready for that conversation. She was more prepared. And after that, we talk every day, and we decided that we would get our passion to help the CF community and make something. And we decided to do Salty Sisters, which is salty because when you have cystic fibrosis, you don't absorb your salt, so it goes through your sweat glands. So basically, on a hot day, you can go on my nose and have salt crystals. So I'm like, if you guys need a tequila shot, I'm right here. I'm here for you. I got the salt for you.
You're like a salt lick. Do you have a cat?
Yes, I do. Oh, dogs love me. Dogs, yeah.
Okay, so that's where salty comes from.
Yeah, so Sisters is a pun off cystic fibrosis. So
right, because it's CYS, Sisters.
Yeah, CYSTERS.
Salty Sisters. Yeah. And what do you sell?
Oh, we do workout clothes because with cystic fibrosis, you need to keep moving because you need to get the mucus moving and mm-hmm. you need to get it out because we don't want infections. So we thought it may be a good motivator if you have some cute clothes. And
totally.
Then if you're at the gym and people see Salty Sisters, they want to ask, what is that? And then you get the CF awareness. Why not?
I love that.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So we do that on Etsy, and you know, we just want to help the CF community. On our Instagram, we share our stories and advice and anything we can do to help everybody. And if we can inspire one person, that's all we need, just to help the community.
What do you do for work?
I do a podcast.
Yeah. Oh, what's your podcast called?
It's called Breathe In, a Cystic Fibrosis Podcast. It's all about experiences that we go through with CF and help the community and people that want to learn more about cystic fibrosis.
So now that you are in a healthy place,
yeah,
and you're feeling good, how do you feel?
I mean, obviously
you feel the difference. You can now breathe.
I can breathe. It's awesome. I can walk.
Have you ever been in contact with the family of the person you got the lungs from?
So I'm actually in the middle of writing a note to them. You can't know anything about the donor. All I know is the car accident. I don't know if it was a guy or a girl. I don't know their age. I don't know anything. So at a year, you can write them a letter, the family. So it's pretty emotional.
I bet.
You know, it's like you're celebrating your life, but you need to remember that they're mourning.
Yeah.
And it's but I want to show them, like, this is what came out of your loved one being so selfless, because now I'm breathing and I get a second chance in life, because I didn't choose cystic fibrosis. I didn't choose to do that, but now I'm breathing, and it's amazing what I can do now, you know?
I love that you're choosing advocacy. I just think that's incredible. We, you know, we hear stories about people who, you know, that take a different path.
Yeah.
And the fact that you're using this to have a platform is incredible.
Well, thank you.
Incredible.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. You know, I just want to help people. That's always been my passion in life. You know,
what's on the bucket list? Like, what? Oh. I know you've had a lot of opportunities to do some things, but now, looking forward, now that you are in a healthy place,
yes.
And do you feel like now you're hitting the reset button?
Pretty much.
Now that you're at a year out?
Well, you think about it, in your 20s, you're supposed to be living life. You're supposed to be learning about your life and going through experiences. And I didn't really have that. I did go to school with my oxygen and my IV pole. I went to college in St. Mary's, and, you know, I wheeled that thing around and I did what I could. But now I'm like, okay, now I can adventure. I can go do stuff because I can breathe.
And so what does that look like? What does the future look like for you?
So the future looks like, I'm hoping Salty Sisters will go far, and I want to go on a lot of vacations because I feel like I deserve one. I feel like I deserve a vacation. I saw you went to the Maldives.
Yeah.
Oh. That's like one of the bucket lists.
Yeah, it's a very long flight.
And Bora Bora. Bora Bora.
Yeah, that's closer.
That's a little closer, yeah. And I want to be able to go run a mile, for sure. And maybe do a 5K, like one of those 5K
cool.
fun runs.
Yes.
I think that would be cool. Maybe do
How often do you work out?
I'd go to physical therapy once a week, but I try to do 4 to 5 times a week.
Excellent.
Because you need to.
Yes.
You need to get those muscles back. It's been a recovery.
Yeah, I bet.
That's for sure. So I'll eventually be able to do that. And then I think I would like to meet my donor family. That's one of the bucket lists. I would love to be on The Price is Right. I'm weird. You know, it's like my guilty pleasure.
I love
you know,
that.
When
that's
you're,
cool.
When you're sick, what do? You watch The Price is Right at 10 a.m.
I love that.
You know, and then just a lot of things, little things. Like, I love Taylor Swift. I'm such a Swiftie.
She's very talented.
Crazy.
Are you still with the boyfriend?
Yes. Yes. For 6.5 years almost.
Wow.
Yeah. So he saw me go through everything.
Wow.
And he's amazing. He's my rock.
That is fantastic. Well, we're so happy for you.
Thank you.
Thrilled that you just had your long-iversary.
Yeah.
And tell everyone how to find Salty Sisters.
So you can go to Instagram. It's at Salty Sisters. We're at Twitter and Facebook as well. If you want to go to Etsy and buy our lovely clothes, our workout
They're super
clothes.
Cute, by the way.
Yeah.
I have a bunch of them. They're great.
Yeah, so that's on Etsy. It's Salty Sisters there. That's the shop name.
It's Salty, SaltyCysters. Salty
yes.
Sisters.
Yes. And yeah.
And how do people find you on social media?
At Salty Sisters.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being
thank
here.
Thank you guys for having me.
Congratulations.
This is thank you.
Oh my gosh, I know your to-do list is so, so long and you haven't finished packing. We've got to go find you sneakers after the show.
No.
We have so much to do.
Yes.
But you know what I'm glad you've already done?
What?
Saved hundreds of dollars on your car insurance.
I know, and I can put that towards my Paris trip.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Geico, G-E-I-C-O. You know what's amazing about it? You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com, G-E-I-C-O.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. Tis the season to have extra money in your pocket. Call Geico right now, geico.com. Go check it out. You are going to thank me. Mm. Happy Earth Month, everybody. I know that every year we write down different goals that we want to accomplish. And maybe one of your goals for 2024 is to shop sustainably. Well, here's some fantastic news. Macy's makes it easy to do just that. This Earth Month, join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. And by the way, who doesn't love going to the park, especially in the spring? Super cute little dog on leashes, soaking up the sun with your friends or your kids or your little nieces and nephews? Well, check this out. Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project. Their goal is to transform vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help create healthy, livable communities for generations to come. I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes to make a huge difference. Donate online or in-store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose.
Do you see the deals on these brands?
Of course you can't. This is a podcast.
But when you go to Ross this spring, you'll see brands you know at prices you love. We're talking all the shoes, hues, and oohs at 20 to 60% off department store prices. Go see the savings at Ross.
2017 was a great year for us here at Podcast One, and we hope it was a great year for you.
We launched new shows with Caitlin Bristow, Jim Harbaugh, Dick Enberg, and Randy Jackson.
We've had some amazing guests stop by some of our shows, like Bryan Cranston on Geffen Playhouse Unscripted.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus on All of the Above with Norman Lear.
And Jason Bateman on Spike's Car Radio with Spike Ferriston.
We are looking forward to a bright 2018 with new shows coming online, like MySpace Tom Anderson.
And we are welcoming back Dennis Miller to the podcast scene.
This is Heather Dubrow. Happy holidays. Cheers.
I'm Caitlin Bristow, and I want to wish you happy holidays.
Hey, guys, it's Kelty Knight from the Lady Gang. Happy holidays. We'll see you in the new year.
From all of us here at Podcast One, we want to wish you a very happy holiday and a happy new year.
This is Heather Dubrow's World. Here's Heather.
Okay, what do we have for Dear Heather?
Okay, here's a question from Paige in San Antonio, Texas. Dear Heather, first of all, I'm a huge fan of yours. You're so fabulous and classy. I look up to you in so many ways. I love your podcast. It always puts a smile on my face. Here's my situation. Lately, my friends and I have been getting friend requests from our bosses. We just recently graduated, and these are our first real jobs. Do we accept or decline the friend request? We live in a world where we want to share everything online, but personally, I always always felt the need to hold back on what I share with my boss when we talk in the workplace. I get we make good friends with some of our coworkers and become friends with them on social media, but I feel like having your boss follow your personal life is awkward and a different situation. I don't post any party or alcohol photos. I have nothing to hide, but I still feel weird that my boss would be following my social life. I don't want to insult my boss by not accepting his request, but at the same time, I don't want him to follow me. How would you approach the situation? Any advice would help. Thank you. P.S. Your airport tips have saved me this holiday season. Can we get more, please?
I love this question. It's a big deal because, you know, in the last decade, with social media, it's a big thing. And I've heard stories about people not getting hired because the HR people are looking at the Facebook page and seeing what they're really like. I mean, I think in an instance like this, and this sounds like a lot of work to me, that you would almost have two accounts.
That's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
The thing is that you can Google someone's name and you can see that they have two accounts. I feel like in this day and age, you can't really hide.
Well, I mean, it would be nice if you could say to them, you know, I feel like I want to keep my personal life personal and my business life. And it's not that, I think you guys are great, but I really like to keep, you know, the boundaries of professionalism.
Yeah.
Like, if I was that age, would I be able to do that? No. I would probably say, yeah, sure. You can
exactly.
And then just
go back, delete everything
and not post anything. Isn't that crazy, though?
Yeah.
I actually think it's totally inappropriate of them to ask.
I was just going to say that. Why even do that? Why put someone in a
position?
Mm-hmm.
And then I wonder.
Because if they're young.
Right.
I don't know.
I don't think they should know what's going on in your life.
I agree. It should just.
So this is what I would say. If there's like an HR person that you can have a conversation with and not mention names and just ask about company policy on that sort of thing that you feel uncomfortable, maybe get a read on that.
Right.
But I'm telling you, I think at the end of the day, you're going to have two accounts.
But they've already asked to follow that account.
Right. So you clean that account up and then you start a new account for your friends to follow. And if they say, oh, you have this other account, you say, oh, that's just for my family.
Right. Yeah. It seems like a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah. Just like, oh, I never even saw the request.
Right.
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so weird.
So weird. Block.
it's a tough situation to be in.
It is. I don't know.
I mean, I guess that's my answer. See if there's someone you can speak to there anonymously, and try to get a read on that.
But if it's a small office and there's like 10 of you.
I still think maybe you need to grow a set and walk in and say, that is so great that you want to follow me. And I just love working here. This is the best job I've ever had. And I'm so comfortable and everything. I really feel it's important to keep the boundary of professionalism and the office versus my home life. And, that's really important to me because I would never feel like, you know, I was crossing the line or, you know.
Make you feel uncomfortable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Well, there's that.
I think there is that conversation to be had. And honestly, what a great learning lesson to be able to do that.
Great.
What are they going to do? They're not going to fire you because you won't let them follow you on Instagram.
Right. Imagine, though, that's like where we're headed, where social media has such a big part in your career.
I know.
It's crazy.
It's surprising to me that most people aren't public.
No, I can see why people are private. There's a lot of private
people. Who's stalking you?
Like, how important do you really think you are?
That's my point.
Oh, I guess.
Kids, yes, I understand because you wouldn't want like pedophiles to be looking through hashtags and go watch your kids.
Right.
That I get.
But I guess that too. I mean, if you don't want your coworkers creeping on your page and seeing what you do on your off days, you know what I mean? Like that's exactly why you go private.
So maybe that's part of the speech. The reason why my account is private is because it's really mostly for my really mostly for my family, and I really just I'm not that big into social media. And I
do, 10,000 posts.
Right. Lie.
Right.
Tough one.
Okay, here's our next question. Oh, Camila in Paris, France. Dear Heather, loved hearing all about your amazing vacay with Terry at the Maldives. Been dying to go there with my hubby. What I would love to know is how do you tip while you're there? Do you continuously tip for everything throughout the day, or do you just tip a generous amount at the end of your stay? I never know what the right thing to do is and always end up tipping too often and too much. Would love to hear about how you do that since you're such a classy lady. Love your show and excited to listen every Friday. And Natalie, can't wait to have you in my amazing city.
Oh, that's so cute. Send us recommendations. Great question.
Yeah.
So in where we stayed, they tacked a gratuity onto everything.
Right. So it's something you have to just ask and find out in the beginning of the trip.
Right. You have to figure it out. They tacked on a gratuity for everything. And like, let me put it this way. So I was ordering very expensive bottles of champagne, and they tacked the gratuity onto the price of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people will just, they won't, you know, a lot of people say you don't tip on the wine. So mm-hmm. like, let's say someone bought a $5,000 bottle of wine.
Right.
You wouldn't tip 20% on the $5,000. Okay.
Right.
So they attached a gratuity on there already. So we went with the gratuity, and then we tipped the people at the end who gave us exemplary service.
Mm-hmm.
So like our concierge tech, we handed him cash when we left. We always leave money for the housekeepers.
Mm-hmm.
Always. And by the way, this is something everyone should do. So when you check out of a hotel, if you just put money on the pillow,
mm-hmm.
the housekeepers know that's for them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Versus keeping it somewhere else, they feel like, did they leave it on
accident? Exactly.
Right.
If you put it on the pillow, you could even write a note, thank you so much to housekeeping, whatever, you know, $20, you know, $10 if you were there one night, maybe more. It sort of depends on the level of the hotel and how many nights you were there.
Right.
But
if you destroyed the hotel.
Yeah, if your kids are with you, if they had to do a little extra service there, you do a little more. But you want to tip housekeeping. Now, remember I was telling you in Dubai that concierge Michael got us this great upgrade and then disappeared.
Right.
So Terry was about to tip him, and he like his bag was somewhere else, and he was like, all right, when we leave, we check out, I'll tip him. But he didn't do anything.
Right.
So here's the thing. Some people like to tip in advance thinking, all right, they're going to give me good service if I tip in advance. But you never know. Like the person that's there on day one might have 3 days off,
mm-hmm.
and then you don't see that person again. I always like to tip at the end. See who took care of you.
Okay.
And those are the people you're going to tip. But I've had that problem too, where you're tipping constantly, but you have to look at the bill. If you look at the bill and you see that there's no gratuity added,
you leave a little something.
Tip as you go.
Yeah.
Tip as you go on meals, on, you know, drinks out at the pool, that sort of thing. But for the big ticket people, the concierge, the, you know, the manager that takes you through your room, the bellman.
Transfers, do you tip the transfers?
By the way, bellman, you want to tip at the moment.
Of course, yeah.
Because when they bring your bags up, you don't know if you're going to see them again.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing to do. So you want to tip the bellman there and back. You want to tip the people at the airport. If you're checking your bags outside and they take your bags, mm-hmm. you want to tip them. And what did you just say?
Your transfers.
It depends.
It's included
so
already.
We get these great people that meet us at the outside the plane and take us to the luggage area and sit us down, and they go get our luggage for us and all that. But if you're spending a lot of money doing that and there's a gratuity on there, there's no reason to add more.
Right. So it's really just assess it.
You really just have to assess. And you know what? Just find out in advance who is charging you what and if the gratuity is already included. But if someone goes out of their way, like we had this driver take us around Dubai and we wanted to go to that 7-star hotel and we didn't have a reservation. He got us a reservation.
Right.
He took us to all these cool places. He was so knowledgeable. He told us so much and he was such a pleasure and he was always where he said he was going to be. And even when we went to the souks, which was like crazy area, he was always there. So even though there was a gratuity on there, we tipped him on top of it.
Right, because you felt like he just went above and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's above and beyond service that gets the extra tip.
Yep.
There you go.
Good. That's a good tip.
There you go. That's a good tip. All right. Thank you guys so much. Happy everything. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Yes.
I hope you have a fabulous trip.
Thank you.
Can't wait to hear everything when you get back. And then, of course, it's my birthday.
Yay! We'll have to have a whole birthday episode.
Birthday episode. Birthday month begins. Terry was like, should we go somewhere for your birthday? I'm like, we're going to Minnesota twice in January. I think
that's,
you could check that box. All right, everyone. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Heather Dubrow's World. Download new episodes every Tuesday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Podcast One has new shows on our new app. Check out all the cool features to help you explore our exciting new programming, like America's Lakers podcast with Jay Moore, Sessions with Randy Jackson, So Random with Corinne Olympios, Attack Each Day, The Harbaugh's podcast, Not Just Sports with Susie Schuster and Rich Eisen, and Sound of Success, The Dick Enberg podcast, as well as your old favorites like The Lady Gang, Steve Austin, Shaquille O'Neal, and Adam Carolla. Get the new Podcast One app in the App Store, Google Play, or podcastone.com.